Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Dear Lord, thank you for these stories we have of you and your faithfulness and of your people and how you've preserved them through time. And just how we also can look to these promises that you make and how they apply so significantly to our lives, God. I pray that we can soak this up and remember what you have for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first we're going to turn to 2 Samuel 9. So if you're wondering where that is in your pew Bibles, it's page 246. So we're going to be going through this whole chapter here. Okay, I'll give you some time to get there. And we're going to look at kind of the first point. So David looks for who can he honor next. We saw that last time he's like, okay, now that I'm king, I want to honor God. But now it's, okay, now that he's given me that promise, what's next? So we'll read in verse 1. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul whom I can show the kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So we talked about what happened last time, and now it's for Jonathan. So this is a strange kind of question, because in those days, if there was a new king put in power, the first thing they would do was to wipe out everyone that had a claim to the throne. So it would be the descendants, so it would be Jonathan's children, because he was next in line. But God instead, because of Saul's sin, chose David to be king. Jonathan and David had a significant relationship and a great friendship that we'll see later on. But so normally, this was different. So maybe the people that were listening to this about David wanting to find if there was anyone left from Saul's line, if he was going to go after them. But that's not what his true intentions were. We see David has compassion on the house of his enemy, Saul. So 2 Samuel 9, 2-4. "Now there was a servant of Saul's house, his household, named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, the king, and said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' 'Your servant,' he replied. The king asked, 'Is there no one left in the house of Saul whom I can show God's kindness to?'" So here we have David's intention is to show God's kindness to whoever's left in the household of Saul. Not that he's going out to seek after them, but to show the kindness that God has given him. So this kindness doesn't come from anything that they've deserved. If you think about what Saul did, he was horrible to David. He tried to kill him multiple times. He would chase after him. He hated him. He was jealous of him. He gave away. So he gave his daughter to be David's wife, and then later when he was in exile, gave his wife away to a different man. So it was just horrible thing after horrible thing. But as we talked about, David even had chances to kill him, but he spared him because he knew God was in control. So why is he wanting to show this kindness to the house of Saul? So continuing that says, Ziba answers the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, and he's crippled in both his feet." So here in this passage, we don't see what caused his son to be crippled. But in 2 Samuel 4:4, we see up here that it's Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but she hurried in a hurry to leave. She fell and he became disabled. His name was Mephibosheth. So his nurse, the one that was in charge of taking care of Jonathan's son, she heard about the death of Saul and Jonathan against the battle with the Philistines. So she picks him up, starts to run, trips, and he breaks his legs, becomes permanently crippled. He was only 5 years old when this happened. But then when we look at the story later on, we see that there's been quite a bit of time that's passed. So the king, he said, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodebar. So a few things to break down here. When we hear Lodebar, do you think you know what it means? Or for me, when I first heard that, I think it sounded like Lodebar, like the bar is low. It's not what it says, but it's basically, I kind of saw it as the bar is so low that there's any place that's better. What the word actually means is that it's a place without pasture. So this was like the far out area. No one wanted to be there because it was basically the ghetto of the city. So he was far away. He was in hiding. He was likely poor because he didn't even have a house of his own. He was living in someone else's house. And if we remember several weeks back to 1 Samuel 20, 13 to 17, we see the promise of Jonathan and David. So this was when one of the times when Saul was trying to kill Jonathan, and Jonathan and David made this promise to each other. If my father is inclined to harm you, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away safely, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may not be killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm this oath out of the love for him, because he loved him as if he was his own self. So we see this major promise that David makes with Jonathan, that he will never cut off the descendants, and that he will take care of them, even after his death. Not many of us sometimes can remember a promise we make when we're younger that goes on for years. As we'll see, he made this promise, and then after Saul and Jonathan died, Mephibosheth was 5 years old. When we see him coming up in the story, he has a son of his own now. So quite a bit of time has passed. So in Samuel 9, 5-8, it says this. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodebar. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay honor to him. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at the table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? So David chose to honor Mephibosheth because of the promise to Jonathan. Not only does David withhold this promise, but he goes above and beyond with kindness and compassion. So just like David does, just like God does for David, he provides even more for Mephibosheth, more than he could ever imagine. He could have just spared him, gave him an assurance that he wouldn't kill him. He could have sent him gifts, and that would have been enough probably for the promise. But we're going to read through the next couple verses, 9 to 13. So we'll be looking for what all that David does. So then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, to him and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belongs to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him, and to bring in the crops so that your master's grandson will be provided for. And Mephibosheth's grandson of your master will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. David doesn't just give him back the land of the positions, but he also has Ziba take care of him. And not just him, but his entire family and Ziba's family and his servants. None of the people here, again, deserved this blessing, but David chose to honor them as well. We often talk about loving our enemies, but we don't always see what that looks like. David chose to go countercultural, and so when everyone else around him in the nations were making sure that they would be king by wiping out the line, he trusted in God. He chose to obey him, and he knew what God had promised him. And so that's something that I really admire about him, that even though he could have done things to assure it, he knew the most important thing was sticking with God. Sometimes, is there someone in our life that we've been neglecting, or we've not been avoiding them? Maybe this is kind of a reminder to reach out to that. Sometimes it's easier to let things be or to forget about promises, but we look at David's example, even years after. We don't know how long Mephibosheth was hiding or how long David was looking for him. What we know is that he was looking for him and that some time passed before they finally found him. So, now we're going to look at David's fulfillment of his promises and how that points us to God's promises for us. So if you're wondering, how does that fully apply to me? This is where we see the significance of this passage. So here's a list of some things. So God seeks us out first. In Romans 5:8, we see that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Just like Mephibosheth was hiding in his fear and brokenness and crippled, God, like David, pursued after him to find him, just like God pursues after us to find us. We are separated from God by the sins of our ancestors. So for us, that was Adam and Eve's sin that separated our relationship with God. For Mephibosheth, it was Saul that separated the relationship with David so that he had to hide. But God, still seeking out for us, made a way for us to come to him through Jesus. So our sin separated us. His fear separated him. So also, the kindness that was given to him wasn't given because he deserved it, but it was because of what someone else had done. We see that David chose to honor him because of what Jonathan did. For us, we are able to be restored in relationship with God because of what Jesus has done for us. He chose to come in our place and to die for our sins so that he could be the perfect sacrifice so that we could be restored to relationship with our Father. And just like Mephibosheth is made a son of David and called to eat at his table, we are called to be at our Father's table. We are made sons and daughters at his table, and we can always come to him. Lastly, our weaknesses don't go away. So if you see Mephibosheth, it wasn't a story of miraculous healing. It wasn't about getting better, but it was about David's provision for him. We are still going to be struggling in our sin. That does not change, but we have someone to help us. God sent his Spirit, so we have the Holy Spirit helping us so that we can move on, that we can come to him, and that we don't have to be afraid. He also gives us the angels. So just as Mephibosheth was given servants to help take care of him and his needs, God has angels that are watching out for us as well, that they are taking care of us even though we can't always see it or what's going on, but there's still that provision for us. So, what should we do now? What does this mean for us, we may be wondering. So, are we going to choose to accept the gifts of his grace and compassion, or are we going to, we can choose to hide in fear? We have those two options. We can live out what he's called us to do. He's seeking out for us. He wants each and every one of us to be with him in relationship. Just as David wanted to honor Mephibosheth, he wants to honor us and for us to be with him. So we can choose to live that out, or we can choose to run. So we can live this out also by following his example. We can go and seek out those, either our friends, family, or even our enemies. We can show them the kindness of God as well. David leads that by example. Maybe we don't have the resources or as much as he could do, but we can still be there for people, and we can still share the gift we have of Christ. It reminds me of the parable in Matthew 18, 21, 35. It's about the parable of the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king. So he would never be able to repay this debt as long as he lived. But the king had compassion on him, and he chose to forgive his debt. And then what did the servant go around and do? Do you guys remember? One person shouted out. Anyone up there? Youth group? Okay, so basically what he does is he goes out and then he finds the people that owed him debt, even though he was forgiven, and he chose to make them pay up. He told them, he threw them in jail and said, you're going to have to pay this back because of what you've done to me. But then the king finds out about that, and he comes to him, and he then puts him in jail because of the gift that he was given. That could never be compared to anything else, and he still chose to just throw it away and to go and arrest the people that owed him. God wants us to go out and to love our enemies and to follow that example, and he is there with us for that. I just really wanted to focus on Psalm 23 one more time. I'll read it for us again because it's a great verse to just always have on our hearts. The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this psalm was written by David, and you can see a lot of the connections with this story as well. We see that God is looking out for us. We don't have to fear. We see that he will not let the evil overcome us. He took care of Mephibosheth. Just like God does for us, David took Mephibosheth, and he took care of him. He made him come to the table. And for the rest of Mephibosheth's life, he was always able to come to the table and be there with David. And that is the promise we have for us, that we can always come to him.